5. Madame Angelique's City of Zion, the Temple Lands. Subtle perfume drifted on the air circulating through the sumptuously decorated and appointed apartment. The overhead fan, powered by a servant in the basement, who patiently and endlessly turned the crank at the far end of the pulleys and shafts, rotated almost soundlessly. The street outside was a broad avenue, well-paved, spotlessly swept, and washed each day, fronted by expensive homes and scrupulously maintained. Birds and softly whistling wyverns perched in the ornamental pear trees in the wide islands of green marching down the center of that street, or fluttered around the feeders set out by the inhabitants of those expensive residences. Most of those residences were the Zion townhouses of minor branches of the great church dynasties. Although it was definitely one of the fashionable neighborhoods, it was far enough from the temple to be a merely respectable address, and more than a few of the townhouses had passed into other hands, either because the original owner's fortunes had improved enough for them to move up to more stylish quarters elsewhere, or because their fortunes had declined enough to force them to sell. Which was how this particular residence had passed many years ago into the possession of Madame Angelique Fonda. There were those sticklers in the neighborhood who found Madame Angelique's presence objectionable, but they were few, and as a rule they kept their opinions to themselves, for Madame Angelique had friends. Powerful friends, many of whom remained clients even today. Still, she understood the virtue of discretion as well, and her establishment offered that same discretion to her clientele, along with the services of her exquisitely beautiful and well-trained young ladies. Even those who deplored her presence among them understood that establishments like hers were a necessary and inevitable part of the City of Zion. And unlike certain shabbier establishments, at least Madame Angelique allowed no gaming or drunken brawls. Her clientele, after all, came only from the upper echelons of the church's hierarchy. She was, almost certainly, one of the wealthiest women in the entire city. Indeed, she might be the wealthiest woman in terms of her own personal worth, rather than her position in one of the great church families. There were persistent rumors that before she'd chosen her vocation and changed her name, she could have claimed membership in one of those families, although no one really believed it, or was prepared to admit it. If they did. At 45, her own working days were behind her, although she retained the slender figure and much of the ravishing beauty which had made her so successful before she moved up into the managerial ranks. On the other hand, her phenomenal success had not depended solely upon physical beauty or bedroom athleticism, although she'd possessed both of those qualities in abundance. More importantly, though, Angelique Fonda also possessed a sharp, insightful intelligence married to a trenchant sense of humor, a keen sense of observation, a genuine sense of compassion, and the ability to hold her own in any discussion, no matter the subject, with wit and charm.